Members of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Ellsworth on the Bucksport Road, with Sunday services at 10:30 a.m., affirming and promoting respect for the interdependent web of existence and the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all.
The time is 4 o'clock and you're tuned to WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill, 102.9 Bangor, and streaming online at WERU.org. And it's time for Radioactive.
This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown for June 29, 2006. Today we talk with Jack McKay, president of the Greater Bangor Area Central Labor Council and an organizer with Food and Medicine, about the upcoming 4th of July celebration and the Eastern Maine Medical Workers Campaign to unionize. And we get an update on the free trade agreement with Oman being voted in the Senate shortly. First, we welcome to the program Matt Schlobaum. Are you there, Matt?
I am.
We should mention today we also are joined by our guest host, Sarah Robshaw. Sarah. We hear that the Senate is looking at a trade deal with Oman, and Senator Snow has recently come out against it after some consideration. Can you give us an update about what's going on with this?
Sure. Basically, the Oman Agreement is an expansion of these NAFTA-style trade agreements that export U.S. jobs, that create sweatshops over abroad, that undermine living standards and create a race to the bottom. And so this is a trade agreement with the U.S. and Oman. And basically, it's being voted on today in the U.S. Senate, and it could be voted on any time in the next week or so in the U.S. House.
And some of the particular concerns that you have with the trade deal, one is that it bans labor unions.
Yeah, I mean, Oman is a country that has no independent labor unions, and there's no collective bargaining. It has a horrible track record of labor rights violations on the ground. There's widespread cases of human trafficking and essentially slave labor conditions. And the U.S. federal government, led by President Bush and the U.S. Trade Representative's office, is pushing ahead to negotiate a trade agreement with a country with such an abysmal labor record. And on top of that, they don't even include strong labor protections in the agreement. So we've seen this model time and again with NAFTA, with CAFTA, and it's been a tremendous failure. It's failed U.S. workers, it's failed workers abroad, and Oman is just more of the same, and it's worse in a lot of ways. So there's very real concerns about the labor and human rights aspects of this agreement.
We should say that as well as being with the Maine Fair Trade Campaign, Matt Schlobaum is on the Maine Fair Trade Commission that looks at how trade agreements may affect the state and beyond. Matt, can you talk about the climate of trade agreements right now politically? I mean, there's been a lot of attempts in the past to pass sort of regional trade agreements, and some of them are hitting walls, but this has been a big push on the part of the Bush administration. Is that continuing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. You know, with the last big trade vote in Congress was over the Central American Free Trade Agreement, otherwise known as CAFTA, which expanded NAFTA to Central America. And I think, you know, it's been interesting because all the promises that were made by the proponents of NAFTA have not come true at all. And we've seen the real-life results in Maine, where we've lost over 20,000 trade-related job losses in the last 10 years, and across the country with 3 million manufacturing jobs disappearing and wages, you know, being pushed down in all of the NAFTA countries. So this model is really failing, and as a result, it's become harder and harder to push these agreements through. So CAFTA took every ounce of Republican energy in 2 years to end up passing the agreement by two votes. So they've had to basically try and pass these smaller agreements like Oman, and even then it's becoming much, much more difficult. It'll be very interesting to see whether the House ultimately tries to vote on this. A lot of Republicans don't want to vote on this agreement so close to an election because they know these agreements are wildly unpopular. The public's had more than enough of them, and they know it's not in the best interest of the majority of people in this country.
So they're looking more towards bilateral agreements, the free trade area of the Americas. What's the status of that right now?
That essentially has been finished. I mean, it's been defeated. It's not really on the radar screen. The Bush administration, you know, periodically tries to revive it, but as South America really moves in a much more progressive direction in terms of their national governments, there's very little interest in following the same broken model that U.S. corporations have been pushing. So I think the free trade area of the Americas, which would have expanded NAFTA to the entire hemisphere, is dead right now. And the U.S. government is having a lot of trouble pushing these regional agreements. They're trying to expand into the Andean region, and that hasn't been working. And even this Oman agreement, what's a pretty small agreement on the surface, they're having a lot of trouble moving.
Now, Senator Snow is on the Finance Committee, is that?
That's right. She's on the Senate Finance Committee.
Which was looking at the bill before it went to the full Senate. And she had not decided, and then she had, and you attributed that to the sort of organizing that's going on in Maine. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Senator Snow sits on the Senate Finance Committee. They look at the Oman agreement before it comes to the full Congress and make a recommendation about it. And the senator, she was very much undecided, and numerous organizations in Maine contacted her in the last couple of days before the agreement, unions, community-based groups, environmental groups, small businesses, basically saying, we're very concerned about this. This model is not working. We need a new direction in our trade policy. And in the end, she ended up voting against the agreement in committee and has said she'll vote against it on the Senate floor, which is a really important decision that she made. She made the right decision. And it's a real, it's a real compliment to the intensity with which citizens in Maine engage these issues and really work to promote a more just economy, because I think all of that citizen input saying we need fair trade policies, we need a global economy that works for everyone, really made a difference in moving the senator's position.
And when do we expect a vote in the full Senate, and what do we know of Senator Collins' position?
I think we'll get a full vote in the Senate anytime in the next hour or two. And as of an hour ago, Senator Collins continued to be undecided on the agreement. It'll be interesting to see how she votes. She was also getting intense pressure from various groups in Maine. And I think we've made some real progress in shifting the nature of the debate and getting the senators to look more critically at these agreements. So I'm hopeful that Senator Collins will also vote no on this.
And again, do you have a sense what the Senate vote could possibly be?
I think, by all accounts, the Senate is a historically very, pro-corporate trade agreement body. It usually supports these things. So I think the agreement will definitely pass the Senate. The real fight will be whether it ultimately comes up for a vote in the House, where there's growing opposition among the Democrats. The Democrats on the House Ways and Means Committee voted unanimously today against the agreement. So I think it will pass the Senate, and the real fight will be whether it ever comes up for a vote in the House, because I think a lot of Republicans are actually pretty nervous about taking a vote to promote the exporting of U.S. jobs so close to an election.
Again, any more details that you want to put out there about the Oman agreement and also the upcoming Peru trade agreement?
Sure. I mean, a couple things I think are important. One is just to recognize the leadership that we've seen on these agreements from within Maine. There's certainly a very broad-based citizen coalition in the Maine Fair Trade Campaign and a lot of our member organizations, unions and environmental groups and others working together. It's also important to note that Congressman Mike Mishu is a national leader in trying to stop these unfair trade agreements. He's in the Democratic Party, he's the point person on trade issues. He's been a very outspoken critic of this model and has really taken the leadership role nationally in Maine to try and nationally in the country to try and stop this Oman agreement and this whole model. The other thing that I would just strongly encourage people to do is to thank Senator Snow, thank Representative Mishu and Representative Allen, who have all committed to vote against it, and to call Senator Collins today at 202-224-2523 to strongly urge her to vote no on the Oman agreement.
Great. And can you just give an update on what's going on with the Maine Fair Trade Commission?
Sure. The Maine Citizen Trade Policy Commission was created by the legislature a couple of years ago to really give citizens a much greater voice on these trade issues and to hold public hearings and collect public input and try and really amplify the voice of Maine citizens in the whole process. And the commission just held a great public hearing in Lewiston where more than 30 people turned out from various sectors and offered public testimony raising concerns. There were apple growers talking about how they've just been destroyed by imports of Chinese apples. There were small businesses. There were people raising concerns about how these trade rules undermine democracy and threaten privatization of services. And it was just a really successful hearing. The commission's continuing its work. It's working on an annual assessment to try and really go into more detail about how Maine is impacted by these trade agreements and to really relay those concerns to the congressional delegation and to try and change some of these trade rules. The other thing the commission's starting to do some work on is to really get prepared to try and work to promote, you know, a different vision of trade policies and trade agreements that has strong labor rights, that doesn't undermine democracy, that has strong environmental standards really in the core, and to try and promote that and push it forward.
Would you like to comment on the recent Atlantica meetings that would affect the Maine and North Atlantic provinces of Canada?
Sure. As I think folks may know who have been listening to your program, Atlantica is this business corporate-created vision for a regional trade zone between the maritime provinces and Maine and northern New England, which sounds, you know, sounds fine enough on the surface. I think it's another case where the devil is really in the details. And the proposal that I've seen around Atlantica is really a scary proposal that is about, you know, undermining labor standards. It's about in their own rhetoric, they say that things like minimum wages and union density are bad policy indicators that need to be removed. And I think it's another core case where it really comes down to who's at the table creating these things. When we look at a NAFTA or an Oman trade agreement or a CAFTA, you know, it's the world's most powerful corporations that are really writing the rules, that are writing the terms of the agreement. And not surprisingly, the end result doesn't work for most of us. We get trade agreements that, you know, export jobs, that create sweatshops, that undermine democracy, that push a backdoor to privatization. And we don't get trade agreements that lift standards up. And the same can be said of Atlantica. If you look at who's around the table creating the proposal, it's strictly larger business in Canada and northern New England. There's no space at the table for organized labor. There's no space at the table for environmental groups or farmers or all the various constituencies that should have a voice in these things. So that, you know, that at the very outset is deeply, deeply problematic, and then it's just made worse by the actual proposals that they're putting forward.
How can people get more information about these issues and the movement around it?
Sure. There's a number of good places on the web. One good website for information on some of these fair trade issues is Citizens Trade Campaign, www.citizenstrade.org. You could also go to our website, the Maine Fair Trade Campaign, which is www.mainefairtrade.org.
Great. Thanks for joining us, Matt Schlobaum, the coordinator with the Maine Fair Trade Campaign.
Thank you.
This morning, members of the Bangor Area Central Labor Council, the organization Food and Medicine, and Eastern Maine Medical Center workers held a press conference in Bangor. The EMMC workers spoke of their continuing move to advocate for their right to unionize and presented their own Declaration of Independence. A group of labor advocates also invited the community to the annual 4th of July event held at the Solidarity Center in Bangor. This year's musical acts include the Gilpin Railroad Incident. Again, we have with us today here by phone Jack McKay. He's the president of the Greater Bangor Area Central Labor Council and an organizer with the organization Food and Medicine. Welcome to Radioactive.
Thank you, Meredith. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Great. Do you want to start by talking to us? We'll get to the 4th of July event in a minute, but talk to us about what's happening with the Eastern Maine Medical Center workers' unionizing efforts.
Right, absolutely. And a way to do this is to look at the Declaration of Independence that the workers are putting together now. And as a first backdrop is they're looking to form a union. They've been organizing for it, and they're the what's called the non-professional, that's a sort of a technical term. They're really the worker bees who make the hospital run. So So they're the people who do the laundry, certified nurses assistants, nutrition, transporters, et cetera, the people who really, you know, make the hospital what it is and cause it to run. And they're looking to build a democratic organization where you have the right to vote for representatives and you have the right to negotiate with management. And one of the things that, you know, isn't really talked about enough, but it certainly is on this show, is that without a union, you know, you're an at-will employee, which means you're subject to, you know, an arbitrary and at times dictatorial power on the part of management. You know, an at-will employment situation is where you have a dictatorship, and it could be a benevolent dictatorship or a malevolent dictatorship. But nevertheless, the power is so unequal. So it was in this context that we, for the past, I'm also an organizer with the International Association of Machinists, which is the union that's supporting these workers in their drive to gain their own union. So we've been having meetings for the past 2 weeks to, you know, talk about the 4th of July and talk about building the campaign. And the workers came up with this idea of, you know, let's use the U.S. Declaration of Independence as a model. And there's actually historical precedent for this. And I'd like to read a quote by Philip Foner, who's a noted labor historian. He writes, and this is about May Day, in the United States for many generations, the 4th of July was celebrated by labor as its day. The practice began in the 1790s when the first trade unions of shoemakers, printers, carpenters, and other crafts joined officially with the Jeffersonian Democratic Republican societies in the community and drank toast to the 4th of July. May it prove a memento to the oppressed to rise up and assert its rights. By the 1820s and 30s, the 4th of July had become fixed as the working-class day of celebrations. It was a day of parades, banquets, and festivals, a day for renewing the spirit of 76, for drawing up the demands of the working class, for presenting new declarations of independence which would serve to finish, quote, the unfinished work of the American Revolution. It was a day for toasts. The working men, the legitimate children of 76, their sires left them the legacy of freedom and equality. They are now of age and are laboring to guarantee the principles of the revolution. So it's really in this context of, you know, some good work, you know, really significant work got done 230 years ago in 1776. But, you know, as we all know, the path to dignity and democracy, you know, started with propertied white men, you know, but it's expanded to women and people who don't own property and people of color. And the fight now at Eastern Maine Medical Center is really to bring democracy into the workplace.
And what is the status of that effort right now?
It's slowly, you know, it's step by step growing. The focus of the workers' campaign there is to build an organization. So it's building a grassroots representative democratic organization. So hundreds and hundreds of people have signed up for it, and they're really doing all the hard work that's necessary to build a good grassroots organization.
Can you talk about survey results that you've been working on?
Oh, right. The workers at the hospital, as it turns out, management did surveys of the workers, and the workers really didn't appreciate too much, you know, being told how they felt. So as a result, they decided to do their own survey. And the other thing about the...
What do you mean by that? The first survey was telling them how to think?
Well, it was management doing a survey saying, you know, whether or not they're happy or not, or, you know, what they felt of the institution. And workers said, you know, why do we need somebody else to do a survey and monitor our own feelings? Why don't we create one ourselves? And so we had committee meetings where workers figured out the questions that they wanted to ask their coworkers and put those into a survey. And then they invited the machinists and community members and other union members to go around and do the survey. So it was a worker-run survey as opposed to a management-run survey.
And is that still going on, or did that...
No, we surveyed over 165 people, and the results were very different than the management-run survey. The management-run survey gave a rating of 1 through 5, with a 5 being very satisfied. And... according to management, it scored a 4.34 the year to date. With the worker-run survey of 165 people, it was 100 and I'm sorry, 66% believe that they did, that the hospital management treated all people, did not treat all people fairly, which is a very, very high rank. And there's 53% of the people on one of the questions wanted to see greater fairness and respectful management. And really, this is, you know, this is a sort of a tool and a way to build, you know, a representative organization. The other thing that came out on the management survey was that workers are given bonuses according to their department, and one of the factors that leads to their bonus was how they responded on the survey. So in a sense, it's like a teacher surveying his class or her class saying, well, I want you to evaluate my performance as your teacher, and how you respond is going to impact your grade. This was voiced by the workers, and as a result, the hospitals changed its policies on this issue.
So the Eastern Maine Medical's unionization efforts, there's usually some union drive or labor advocacy project that is the focus of these different 4th of July events.
Yes?
Sorry.
Can you tell us more about the 4th of July event?
Oh, sure. I'd love to, yeah. So there's going to be, this is our sixth one. All previous events have had a group that we've benefited of laid off workers, and the group that we're looking to support this year is the Old Town workers who have been have lost their jobs, and they're hoping that a new company comes along and purchase them. But the 4th of July itself, we're going to have grilled organic lamb from King Hill Farm and Happy Town Farm. There's a union chili contest with all sorts of different kinds of chili, including moose chili and venison chili from the different union affiliates of the Central Labor Council. We're going to have music, and there's also going to be a lot of vegetarian dishes. There's going to be great music from Sean Mercer and also the Gilpin Railroad Incident, who are out of Bucksport. They're really a fantastic band. And there's going to be some speeches. There's going to be the Congressman Mishu is going to be here, Governor Baldacci, as well as workers from Eastern Maine Medical Center who are going to present their declaration. Also, another issue that's really important is the Verizon has announced that it's going to sell, that it's interested in selling its Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont landlines, its telephone services. The two unions in that industry, the Communication Workers of America and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, IBEW, are fighting this because essentially what this is about, and this has happened in Hawaii and Missouri and Arkansas, is Verizon sells these entities, which are lower profit margins, to a sort of very aggressive, hard-knuckle, kind of bottom feeder type company who comes in and squeezes the asset to wring more profit out of it. And the losers on this are the workers, but also the community, because, you know, this goes back to Rural Development 101 with the utilities. Rural life was subsidized. In other words, it costs a lot more to put in, you know, telephone service in Washington County than it does in Queens County, New York. So it was subsidized across the system. So the phone system we have now is something that's the result of our policy and our tax money. So that Verizon selling it is a major threat on our way of life. So there's going to be some workers from Verizon who are going to be speaking. Some workers from the Maine State Nurses Association are going to be speaking, because that's yet another attack on workers' rights through the upcoming Kentucky River decision, which I can talk about. And then at the end of the event, which concludes at 9:30, people can watch the fireworks in the park right behind the Union Hall. And I should also say that we have a new 5-foot by 8-foot solidarity flag, which will be unveiled on our refurbished 50-foot flagpole. So we're very, very excited about that.
Will there be a skit this year?
No, we haven't quite rounded the corner of putting together a skit. We're not this year.
Usually a very humorous and informative political skit.
We're thinking the music will be good enough, and hopefully the flag, too. So not
the Gilpin Railroad incident.
Right.
And a speaker, Stuart Acuff?
Acuff is he's the director of organizing for the National AFL-CIO, and if people have any interest in just, you know, in union issues or want to learn about union issues, Stewart is really a mesmerizing speaker. I saw him address a crowd of 1,000 people in St. Louis at a Jobs with Justice conference, and you could have heard a pin drop. He just, you know, is a very, very inspirational speaker. And, you know, he's just really good, and he's going to talk about a lot of the current issues in labor. He's been a union organizer for several decades, first with the ACORN, which some of the listeners may be familiar with, then with the Service Employees Union, and later with the AFL-CIO. So it's a real treat to have him here. Steve Early, who's a labor writer for, you know, you'll see him occasionally in Mother Jones and other the Progressive and other magazines, will be here also, and he'll be speaking to the issue at Verizon. So we've got a real treat in terms of lineup this year, and the tickets are only $5, and it supports a good cause. So,
Jack, can you give people more information about where it is? It's down by the river in Brewer, and some information about some of those details. We hear we are going to have Matt Schlobaum back on the line for 1 minute at the end. He apparently has an announcement to make. And I know we wanted to talk more about this Kentucky River workers' rights attack. If you want to say a quick word to that, but we'll have you back on, since that's now going to be on July 11th, the rally concerning that at 4 o'clock in front of the Eastern Maine Medical Center on July 11th.
Okay. That's really the plug I'd make on July. It's a huge attack on worker rights from the Bush-controlled National Labor Relations Board. It could be the worst thing since Taft-Hartley. It's important that people stand up in solidarity, and we send a message to stop that. That's July 11th at 4 o'clock. The 4th of July event here at the Central Labor Council, it's a very convenient location. We're just on South Main Street, right by Interstate 395. So if you go on Route 15, which is South Main Street, about a half mile south, and we're right across from Van Raymond's Outfitters. There's a church, St. Teresa's Church, and we're right behind that. We're right on the Penobscot River. So it's easy access in and out on the 4th of July, which is nice with the traffic. It begins at 6 o'clock. Dinner is from 6 to 7. Speeches from 7 to 7:30. And then, you know, the live music and the fireworks. And we've got a park right behind us that people can watch the fireworks. So it's a beautiful location to watch the fireworks.
And thanks again. And the
we have a lobster raffle on top of that, and we're raffling off a kayak, too.
And for more information, 989-4141?
That's correct.
Very good. And the hall has a big labor mural on it. Thanks
That's
again,
right.
Jack McKay.
Thank you.
We welcome back Matt Schlobaum again, back from the Maine Fair Trade Campaign.
Hi, Meredith. Good to be back.
You have an announcement.
I do. I just got some breaking news over my email that Senator Collins in the end voted no on the Oman agreement. So both Senators Snow and Collins voted no on the agreement. It did pass the Senate, but that was largely expected. But it's a real tribute to the work of citizens in Maine to really raise these issues with their elected officials, and that we got our entire congressional delegation committed to voting against this flawed trade agreement. So I just wanted to pass on that news.
Thank you again. Certainly Maine has been very involved with this issue, more than many states. Thanks, Matt Schlobaum, for that update. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with Meredith DeFrancesco, Amy Brown, and our guest host, Sarah Robshaw. You can reach us here at 469-6600 or by emailing news@weru.org. Stay tuned now for Free Speech Radio News, Democracy Now!, and join us again next Thursday for Radioactive.
And our programs are now archived on WERU's website, weru.org.
Radioactive is made possible in part by Artisan Builders, providing environmental design, construction, and renovation for homeowners and local businesses since 1992. 525-7740.